We'd like to thank Brother Hamilton for leading us in those excellent selections, those hymns of praise. Thank Brother Johnson, Brother Lister for their part as well. We want to once again just say good morning to the church. It's good to see you out on this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day morning. A day that we have never seen before, and certainly we will not see it again. And we hope that it goes down in God's great record-keeping book that we have been faithful today. And if the Lord was to come back today, everybody get to go to heaven. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Because he found you in church this morning. Amen. But certainly it's always a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord. It's always good to see our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And it looks like we have a pretty good crowd today. We've been working hard and just trying to encourage folk to be more faithful to the church. We've been talking about being faithful to the church. And hopefully that will be our message for next year, to encourage folk to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to be faithful to the church of Christ, amen? And so we're looking forward to the Lord just moving in the hearts of men. It's always good to see those who have not been with us in a while to come. And if you have not already done so, to rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? It's always good to see our new members stand on the battlefield of the Lord and not allowing Satan to distract them or to pull them back into the world. It's tough out there, and the devil is busy, and certainly we all need some encouragement. That's what we've been studying, and on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, talking about the importance of encouraging one another, and that it is a mutual responsibility. You have to encourage me, and I have to encourage you. It's not a one-way street. It's not fair for it to be a one-way street. So we ought to be about the business of just encouraging one another. Now, this month is commitment month. Yes, and we are encouraging every member of the body of Christ to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before long, 2009 will be here. That's right. And if you are a working member of the body of Jesus Christ, we want to encourage you and challenge you to fill out a commitment form. If you need one, you can raise your hand. I make sure the ushers get one to you. You can fill it out. You can put it in the collection plate, or you can drop it in the box on the door on the finance office, and we will make sure that your pledge is counted. It goes on record as a promise for next year. I know things might change. It might change both ways. It might change in losing your job. It might change in getting an increase of income. But this is what I plan to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to encourage everybody. We encourage and we challenge the ministry coordinators to be faithful. We challenge all the men in the church to be faithful. We challenge this morning all the brothers who serve in the church. Amen, somebody. Everybody get one. We don't want no folk hanging around here who are not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to work and serve and be a member here, you got to support the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. It might be uncomfortable, but it's necessary that everybody be accountable and dependable in supporting the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to make sure that you get one. And we will pause just for a moment, because if you need a pledge form, you can just raise your hand and we will make sure you get one. Brothers, where the ushers at? Get some forms in here. Make sure everybody get a form. So those of you who don't have your hand up, I'm assuming you already got one. Now you're on one side or the other. You either don't have one or you do have one. Amen. In the middle is unacceptable. Amen. We want everybody to be accountable in the church. So we want you to raise your hand to get one. We told our young folk, you pick one up too. Rake some leaves and give it to the Lord. Do something for the Lord. Just don't sit around here and do nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. That sounds tough, but it's necessary. Amen. Raise your hands if you need a pledge form. Come on, Gabriel. That's all right. Gabriel, Michael, they give too. Gabriel, give Michael one too. They got to give a dollar every Sunday out of their allowance. Now, this morning, we want to challenge you in this area of being liberal for the Lord. The importance of being liberal to the Lord. Scriptures that we read during the offering. The whole chapter is good. We're going to be kind of dealing with the whole chapter. But Paul says, as he writes to the Corinthians, he says in verse number 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad and hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread to your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." Amen. It appears to me that Paul is telling the Corinthians that God has been good to you. God has given an unspeakable gift. He has given an unmatchable gift. He has given us his son, Jesus Christ. Christianity is a giving institution. There are no freeloaders in this institution, because God has been good to everybody, and everybody ought to be good to God. To not be good to God is to take advantage of God's goodness. And nobody likes to be taken advantage of. But we all like to show or ought to show our appreciation or be shown appreciation for what we have done. And certainly it is no different for the Lord. The Lord expects us to treat his kingdom right. Paul is completing in chapter 9 what he began in chapter 8. You remember in chapter 8, when he was talking to the Corinthians about the importance of supporting the cause of Jesus Christ, he makes a reference to the churches of Macedonia. When he talks about how and using them as an example and sharing with them their commitment to the cause of Jesus Christ. And he talks about how they were sacrificial. He talked about even though they were under great stress, they were living in tough times. They were so poor that they couldn't afford the O and the R. They were poor. But in spite of their conditions and what they were going through, they passed the test because it wasn't based upon their cash. It was based on their commitment. It wasn't based on their treasure, but rather it was based on their trust. It wasn't based on their funds, but rather it was based on their faith. That they wanted to show God and to show the people of God that they could be depended on by making a commitment. And Paul says, here's the scripture now. Paul says they made a commitment a year ahead of time. So I know you can make a commitment a year ahead of time and to say, I'm going to do this next year. That's the Bible right there. For those who need some scripture to know if filling out one of these forms is scripture or not, you can make a commitment for the next year. And we do it all the time. We do it in every area of life. Hopefully we do it in every area of life. But sometimes when it comes to the Lord, we renege on our obligation or we slack on our commitment when it comes to our finances. I know that when we talk about finances, it rubs some folk the wrong way. But there are many Bible principles that we can get. So he shares with them and reminds them God loves a cheerful giver. And I know you're going through some tough times, and we are going through some tough times. Somebody said it's like the recession now. Yeah. There are those who are losing their homes, and prices seem like they're going skyrocketing, and folk are losing their jobs and things of that nature. But the fact still remains the same that whoever is in the White House, and I'm glad, whoever is in there, God is still in control. Yeah. And the people of God rely on God for whatever they need. It doesn't matter about what laws they pass. God's still going to look out for me. And I must look out for the things of God. So these Macedonians, they were destitute. They were crushed under weight. But they were committed to God. And they made sure that their pledge was made and their contribution was received. Paul even said, when I looked at their living conditions, I wasn't too impressed. Matter of fact, I thought I need to give them some money. But the Bible said that they begged and they entreated the Apostle Paul to take this gift because they wanted to know that they were represented in the pot. Because God has been good to us. Amen. I like to read John Maxwell's writings. And he said in one of his books, I can't remember which one it was, but it was an excerpt on being thankful. Because he talks about abounding in thanksgiving. That when you are thankful for what God has done for you, you can't help but to do something for God. To not say thank you is to be insensitive to the person who has done so much for you. And you know how it is when you have ungrateful children. When you do all you can for them and they can't even say, anybody know what I'm talking about? They can't even say thank you sometimes. Well, God feels the same way. God bless you and he's given to you and he has bailed you out over and over again, but you show up in the house of God and won't even say thank you to God. It won't be long before your blessings get cut off. But they were saying thank you. And not only were they saying thank you because they were the ones doing the giving, but the ones who were the recipients were saying thank you. Because you not only bless because you're giving, but you bless because you're blessing the lives of other people as well. So Paul uses these Macedonians to help us to understand that they were sacrificial. And when you make a sacrifice, that means that you have to go beyond. You have to do something to show that you're willing to stretch a little bit. We were using our Bible school class. We were talking about how Christians are like rubber bands. And, you know, rubber bands are no good just laying around. They're designed to stretch. And depending on the size of it, how far it will stretch. But it is designed to stretch so that it might do more than you think it can. So when Paul refers back to these Macedonia, he said not only did they do what they could do, but Paul said they went beyond their ability. So that's some good preaching. I know Brother Lister deal with that. I told him I wasn't going to mess with this stuff. But But the Bible says they not only did what they could. Now, you know, if we can get every member to do what they could. And we can get every member in the body of Christ to just do what you can. If you know you can, give 20. If you know you can, give 30. If you know you can, give 50. If you know you can, give 100. If you know you can, give 200. And it's easier for you because God has blessed you. You ought to do what you can until your faith kicks in. And then you start operating off of doing what you're going beyond what you can. You know I can give 50, but I'm going to raise it up $25 more this year. I'm going to go beyond what I can. I'm going to step out on faith. I'm going to trust God that God going to bless me. Because the text says you reap what you sow. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap of the Spirit. But if you sow to the flesh, and many times we do. Many times we overextend ourselves when it comes to finances. That's why we probably have more going out than coming in. Because we have overextended ourselves. We signed for that $1,000 a month car note. We signed for that $2,000 a month mortgage payment. We signed for, you know what I'm talking about. So we know how to commit ourselves to things and then scratch our head and figure out how we're going to pay for it. And many times people operate that way. But when you step out on faith, when you're doing something for the kingdom of God, I just believe that God's going to step in and make sure you can honor your commitment. So these Macedonians, you said they were sacrificial. But John Maxwell told a story, I didn't forget, about the woman who was told, who lived in an old shack, dirt floors, toilet was outside. She said, they say, if somebody gave you a pile of money, what would you do with it? She responded, I'd give it to somebody who needed it. He said, well, that's why I'm suggesting they give it to you. It looked like you need it. But in her mind, she was saying, there's a lot of people I'm doing better than. It has a lot to do with perspective. How do you see what God has given you? Are you so concerned about what you don't have? Are you so concerned about what your neighbor have that looks better than yours? Are we wrapped up in material things that we don't appreciate what we have, and as a result, our eyes are on materialism and not on the kingdom of God? But these Macedonians not only were sacrificial, but they were spiritual and they were scriptural because they were willing to do whatever they needed to do. For the Bible says that they first gave of themselves. They gave themselves to God and then they gave themselves to the apostles. See, when I give myself to God and I'm totally committed to God, I don't have a problem being asked to do something for the kingdom of God. Because after all, I realize that whatever I have, God gave it to me in the first place. And so if God gave it to me in the first place, it really belongs to him anyhow. And if it means me cutting back and making a sacrifice, then I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done that God might receive the glory. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, you remember, Paul was praying that this thorn in the flesh be removed from him. And I like the way he responded to the Lord's response, because he prayed thrice, the Bible says. And at each instance, God told him, my grace is sufficient. If you're reading some captures in your Bible in chapter 8 and chapter 9, it's talking about the grace of giving. Giving is a grace. Man, it's a grace to give. It's good to be able to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So he talks about the grace of giving. They want to abound in this grace also. God needed these, or depended on these Christians to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. But he said that they first gave themselves. And when they gave themselves, they didn't have a problem are giving themselves to the apostle of Jesus Christ. So he makes mention that they were sacrificial, they were spiritual, and they were doing what the scripture had commanded them to do, or at that time the apostles, what they were called upon to do. So when we get to chapter 9, Paul talks about two things. Paul mentions these Corinthians, they are monetary gift. And then Paul closes out with the Father's magnificent gift. In other words, your monetary gift, or what you give to the kingdom of God, has everything to do with how you feel about what God gave you. When God, who has given his son, Jesus Christ, in other words, he has sacrificed it all. God has never really required us to give all that we have. God wants a percentage of what you have. But even more so, he wants to know that you are committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. So as I look through chapter 9, I want to talk to you from the subject, checking your spiritual temperature. Checking your spiritual temperature. Every once in a while, you need to have your temperature checked. Amen, somebody. Because we need to figure out what's going on inside of you. Because if you don't understand what's going on inside of you, some strange things may happen to you. And there are various tools that we might be able to use. I like to go in classroom number 2 on the first Sunday and get my blood pressure checked to make sure what's going on inside of me is all right. Every once in a while, you might even put a thermometer in your mouth. Or if you're a baby, well, to check and make sure that everything on the inside is all right. Now, I think the principle can also be applied to our spiritual lives, because when we talk about giving to the kingdom of God, that is a spiritual matter for spiritual people. We're not just talking about paying bills per se. You can pay bills and not be spiritual. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, it requires that we all be spiritual. So the Bible indicates that Paul begins to brag on them. Didn't have time to read in the first part, verses 1-5. But Paul has to brag on them because of what they had done for the Lord. And we always ought to commend those who have been faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ. We could not have gotten this far without those who have sweat and shed blood and cried and labored and worked for the kingdom of God. The Bible says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you have shown toward his saints in his name. It goes down in God's great record-keeping book that you have been faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ in the past. But the past is the past. What you going to do right now? You can't rest on your laurels and say, well, I gave last year. No, no, no. This is a new year. Yes, sir. Amen, somebody. So Paul reminds them of their past, and he has confidence in them that they will do the right thing. But then Paul gives them a charge. He said, there's a task before us right now, and you all cannot renege on your commitment to the cause of Jesus Christ. So he makes a review of the past, but it brings them and reminds them of their commitment into the future. And then finally he talks to them about their reward for doing what they made a commitment to do. God will bless you for being a blessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds them of that biblical principle. And not just a biblical principle per se, because it applies in other areas of life. But the principle is, if you sow little, you reap little. If you sow much, you reap much. And sometimes we forget that this is a principle. So whenever you're looking at your pocketbook and you're wondering why I'm struggling, buckle your seatbelts here. You might ought to check your giving. Look down in your register on your checkbook and see how many times there's an entry for the Church of Christ. Blockbuster is in there. Old Country Buffet is in there. PG&E is in there. Macy's, but not no more, but they in there. Hex is in there. There's a whole lot of stuff in there, and you can tell a whole lot about a person just by looking in their checkbook. That's why we don't want folk looking in our checkbook. Amen. I remember somebody lost their checkbook, and they were calling the church. One note, did anybody find out? They was concerned that somebody might find out what they're doing with their money. Well, the preacher found the checkbook. He said it was safe. He said, whew, good. He said, well, why was you worried about it? Do you have a lot of money in there? Think somebody said, no, there's really nothing in there. I just don't want people to see how I spend my money. Because your checkbook, don't get quiet on me, church. What's that? You got a checkbook on you? Anybody got a checkbook? Let me take your checkbook and share it with the church. You know what I'm talking about? You got what I'm talking about. It would tell how you spend your money. And we look at the deposits and look at what you're spending it on and say, wait a minute, the Lord ought to get a percentage of this here. If you make $500 under the law, God gets 50. That was something that Israelites knew automatically, and anything above that was out of love and generosity. So you do what you're supposed to do. You do what you can do, and you go beyond that. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? I'm not trying to make nobody mad. I want to preach it because I ain't preaching on giving no more this year. But the Bible says, he makes some observations here. First of all, he said, you're going to reap what you sow. You want a lot? You're going to have to give more. Sometimes we all stressed out because I don't have enough money to pay my bill. I'm struggling. I really can't give. Or wait a minute now. That's the last person you want to cut.
That's right.
See, these Macedonians, they want to make sure that they don't bite the hand that feeds them. You ever heard that? They were more concerned about their G-O-D than their B-G-E. They were more concerned about their L-J-C, Lord Jesus Christ, than their C-A-R. They were more concerned about his will than their own bill. Like that little widow who came in Mark chapter 12, the Bible says she put all she had in the pot. Somebody said, that's foolish. You know you're hungry. You know. No, I know God will provide. It doesn't matter who's in the White House or the State House. It doesn't matter who in the schoolhouse. God is still on the throne, and God recognizes that when I'm committed to the cause of Jesus Christ, the Lord will provide everything I stand in need of. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody understood that? Not only is that true in the New Testament, that was true in the Old Testament. You remember in Malachi chapter 3, when Malachi challenges the Israelites who were being blessed by God, but in turn was doing nothing for God, cheating and robbing God. And he raised a question in verse number 8, will a man rob God? He said, well, that don't make sense. How can someone rob God? I thought you said God is a spirit. We don't know where he is. How can I rob God? And I can't see God. He answers, he said, yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed. He told them then, the reason you're struggling, because you're cheating God. I told you I'm working on a lesson called the big bailout. But see, we expect God to deliver us or bail us out of our financial crisis, but we in turn use our crises to make excuses for not supporting God. So God is sitting there saying, okay, I'm waiting for you to put over here so I can multiply your seed sown. I wait for you to give over here so I can take it and give it back to you. But I'm not going to give it back to you because you're not faithful with what I'm giving to you. I can't give you more because you're not doing right by what you already have. Right now, I done fix it so you get $500 a week, and you don't do right with that. But you keep praying for more. So what you do? You run out and get a part-time job, you get two jobs, you get three jobs, you got four or five jobs, you know, and still don't give more money. What are they doing? We cut our own throats. When we don't do right by God, you're going to keep on trying to do it your way. But when you do it God's way, God will fix it so you have one good job. Oh, Lord. God knows how to fix it so you don't have to wait 5 jobs and still broke. Got more income and still give less to God. We need to check our spiritual temperature. Something going on in the inside. See, this only can be determined by where you are spiritually. You can't look at how a person live. Oh, they live in a nice house. They can be good givers. No, not so. Oh, they drive a nice car. They're going to be good givers. Not so. Now they got a good job. Going to be good giver. Not so. Man, they dress well. No, that don't mean anything. You can't determine even by the size of the crowd. So I'm looking at the financial statistics over the years. It's almost the same, and Brother Reed probably can vouch for it. When you have a larger crowd, less money come in. You can't even regulate. You only can regulate it by spirituality. Sometimes the smaller the crowd, the larger the offering. You can't determine it by that. You only can determine it by taking the pulse of the members and to see where they are spiritually. There are some facts that we ought to consider. First of all, God don't need what you got. God don't need what you got. You ain't got nothing to impress God. If the truth be told, everything we have, God gave it to us anyway. It's just some stuff he just gave us. Because he got a whole lot more to give us, but we can't handle it. Because we won't take care of what we do have. So God don't need, the Bible says, even cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. He says, silver and gold is mine. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Not only do all the things belong to him, but you and I belong to him. God don't need what we have, but he uses what we have. He wants us to have faith in him. And when we have faith in him, things will happen. Now say it in Malachi. When I talked about how you will be blessed, forgiven, but you got to trust God. He told them in Malachi 3:10, bring in all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. But no, but see, I need some meat in my house. It's not about you no more. You gave your life to the Lord. You make sure God's house is taken care of. And God will make sure your house is taken care of. I know that's a hard biblical principle to grasp. Because sometimes we're more concerned about, you know, our BG&E instead of our G-O-D. Sometimes we're more concerned about our will instead of his will. And that's why we're so busy working 4 or 5 jobs to get done what we think we need to get done. But yet if we do it God's way, God knows how to make it easy. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You ever wonder about like some folk got it so easy and you struggling? Maybe they doing right by God. But notice what he said. Back in the Old Testament, it said, if you bring that stuff in my storehouse that I may have meat in my house and prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, will I open up a window of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have enough room to receive it? I give you so many blessings. God is in the blessing business. God knows how to shower you with blessings. He said, not only will I open up a window of heaven and you be blessed, but you won't even have enough room to receive it. You got so much stuff, you got to give away stuff. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to use you as a channel to be a blessing to somebody else. Right. And then it says, I will rebuke the devourer. That means I get the wolf man away from the door. Anybody that's going to try to eat up your profits, ruin your business, destroy what you gain, I take care of the enemy. I take care of the boll weasel, that little rascal sneaking around the field, eating up the crop. I take care of him. I will devour the adversary. See, sometimes, you know, you're so busy putting money in the bag and there's a hole in the bag. Like the hose says, you got a bag with holes in it. He said, I'll plug up the hole. So you don't have to worry about the enemy taking all your money. You don't have to live under that curse anymore. But that you can be set free. And the Bible says that I would do that for you. I will destroy the fruit of your ground, and neither shall your vine cast her fruit before its time, saith the Lord. And all nations shall call you blessed. For they say you have a delightsome land, or you're prosperous and you're doing well, and you have to contribute to the blessings of God. You got to tell people, it's all because of God that I'm doing well. I believe in supporting the kingdom of God. Now, when I look at this, this thermometer that's designed to take your temperature, I can't help but to realize that there are at least five areas of giving. First of all, you stick one in somebody's mouth, and it's way down here. That C stands for covetousness. Now, the apostle has already said in verse number 5, but not as of covetousness, meaning that there are some folk who just won't give. That's a dangerous thing to do. To just refuse to give. Covet. The Bible says in the list of sins, in Ephesians 5, in Galatians 5, in Colossians 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in those lists of sins, the Bible says covetousness is there. People who are covetous, people who won't give, will go to hell. So you can say that. Ain't talking to me. If you, and we put the thermometer in your mouth and it reads no giver, that means you on your way to hell. Now we're not just talking about putting money in the plate here. We're talking about supporting God. The God who sustains your life. The God you pray for to heal your children. The God you pray for to pay your bill. The God you want in your life to save your marriage. That same God who commands you to give as you has prospered. That if your spiritual life is, I ain't going to give, that means you are suffering from covetousness. And covetousness is a sin. Then you stick the mouth, stick it in somebody else's mouth, and it goes up a little bit. But it goes up to indifference. We call it the spirit of indifference. That's what reads in some people's lives. The spirit of indifference means I don't agree with everything that's going on. And I don't really like everything. My giving is regulated by what I like and what I don't like. And I tell people all the time, your giving has nothing to do with what you like and what you don't like. It has everything to do with you being commanded by God to give. Yes, amen, somebody. So the spirit of indifference, God don't want to hear that. Suppose God has a spirit of indifference toward you and decide you ain't going to get no check this week. Let me have a spirit of indifference toward you. You know, I didn't like the way you acted this week. Amen, somebody. So some may read there's an indifferent spirit there, and a person with a spirit of indifference, you know, maybe they give, maybe they won't give. They might come, they may not come. And if they don't come, they're certainly not going to send it in. And if I come, I give based on if I like the service or not. If you don't step on my toes, if you don't say something that offends me, I might tip the preacher. That's a spirit of indifference. And God never blesses a spirit of indifference. You will always live under curse with the spirit of indifference. Come on now. Nobody should have to make sure we treat you with kid gloves and so you'll give to the chair. No, this ain't about that. If God has been good to you, you ought to give for that purpose. Yes, you put the thermometer in somebody else's mouth and move on a little bit to that lukewarm section. You know, lukewarm is, you know, Jesus said about the church over in Revelations, they're lukewarm. They're not hot, no cold. They lukewarm. They're just in the middle somewhere. That stands for those halfway folk. Halfway. They're not going to quit, but they're not going to do more. They're just going to hang right there. I'm going to do this. That's all I'm going to do. And they do things halfway. They half-hearted. They have time. They halfway. Why? Because they lukewarm. They just lingering in the middle somewhere. Amen, somebody. And God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. They may not. They're just in the middle somewhere. They may go hot, they may go cold. They just kind of hangs in the middle. And he said over there in Revelation that lukewarm people make me sick. They make me want to vomit. He said, I want to spew you out of my mouth. Because you're not hot, no cold. I don't know if I can depend on you. I got to flip a coin to see how you're going to act on this situation here. He said, because you can go either way, fence riding members. They go either way. You can't really depend on them. God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. You stick the thermometer in somebody else's mouth, and it goes up to warm. Praise God for those who are warm. Warm is good, you know. Warm is dependable. Warm is consistent. Warm wants to do what's right. I do what I'm obligated to do. I'm not hot, but I'm warm. But praise God, warm is good. Hot is better, but warm is good. Warm is, you can depend on me. Amen, somebody. Warm is, I'm soothing to you. My spirit is where it ought to be. I'm not offended by filling out a form and making sure my envelope is in there every Sunday. Because I know God has been good to me. And I want you to depend on me, church. We need some warm folk in the church. But thank God for hot food. Woo! There's some folk go beyond what they can do. And every once in a while, a Barnabas will step through the doors. Every once in a while, a Ananias and Sapphira will step to the door. Every once in a while, a widow will show up. Every once in a while, somebody who knows God has been a blessing to them will show up. And not only do they give regularly and they warm, but when God blesses them. I was talking to Sister Odegaard. Can I use this? We was talking about these offering. She brought up a good point. She said, well, do you have anything on him for income tax? You know, my mind's saying, never man spake like this before. She said, well, suppose when you get your income tax, you want to give some of that to the Lord. Is there any way on here to do that? I said, well, sister, you got it. You bring up a good point, and you're right, and I believe that. See, sometimes what we do, we are legalistic. We say, well, my first job, I give that to God, but my second job for me. I don't care. If I give this brother $5, guess what? He's been blessed. How much are you going to give to God? Because, see, that's income. Income means something came in. So if somebody give you $100 for your birthday, God ought to give some of it. See, that's the way spiritual people think. Legalistic people think, well, I gave $10. I ain't doing no more. That's the spirit of indifference. Amen, somebody. So however you are blessed, whether you receive your income tax, whether God has blessed you and somebody just gave you something, or however money comes your way, we ought to think about God, because God is the one who worked it out for us to get it in the first place. I appreciate Sister Odegaard with that kind of spirit. But then, not only do you have people who are warm, but those hot folk. Those are the people who give like they're supposed to. But every once in a while, God will bless them with that $10,000 income tax check. And they bring some of it to church on Sunday. Or they bring an inheritance check in. Or they sell their house and make $40,000 profit. Or the stock market went up and they walk in. You've seen people come in and just drop it. Here's $1,000. Here's $2,000. Here's $5,000. Here's $10,000. I've seen a $50,000 check come through several times. Because somebody has been blessed on the stock market. Somebody has been blessed in real estate. Somebody has made a deal. Somebody has been blessed by God. And they say, thank the Lord. Yes. And the first thing they do is write a check for the church. They're hot. We need some hot folk in the church. Now, if I was to take this thermometer and stick it in your mouth, amen, somebody. Because it's a whole dynamics to this thing. And sometimes we think, we had a lesson some years ago. Had a lesson with the brothers. We had We had a member who came through and just dropped a pile of money in the pot. Some of you might remember this lesson. And the person just gave it and said, "Praise the Lord," and walked off whistling. Just as happy as can be. We scratching our heads going back and forth about how to spin it. One time the conversation got kind of heated. I said, hold it. Think about what we're doing now. Here's a person who's been blessed by God and give 10%. And just as happy as they can be because they got 90% to use for themselves. And we're fussing up what to do with it. Where are we on our concept of being? We'll never grow to the point where we can do this. Because we still fussing and fighting over a few dollars. Some of us, $1,000 is a whole lot of money. And some of us is not. We give it every Sunday. So how you sow and how you reap is connected. The reason we don't get much, we probably ain't doing much. Now some understand, well, I'm doing pretty good, but I don't really give. Be careful. One day you can come to this hour talking about, "I need some prayer. I love my job. My husband died. I love my home." Some tragedy that struck that changed your financial situation. Amen. And it might be a direct result for you being disobedient to God. Because God is in all this. We try to separate our finances from our faith. But when you read the Bible, the law had more to say about finances than any other subject. Why? Because it affects us all. That's right. And he wants to know where your treasure is. That's where your heart is. So if your heart is caught up in your checkbook, that means it can't be caught up in your Bible. But when your heart caught up in pleasing God, God will take care of your checkbook. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things," those material things, "all these things," he says what? "I give it to you." He didn't say, "I replace cars, I give you more cars." He said, I give you a bigger house. God can give you anything you want. That's why I don't hate on people who got more stuff than me. I want to stand close to them because when God starts blessing them, bless me too. Amen, somebody. If one thing my father taught me, don't be envious of nobody because that's not the last time it was made. Whatever they got, you can get too. Just work hard, save your money, spend it right. If you're not doing right, rub elbows, learn some stuff, do better next time. But never hate on folk. God blessing them. We need those folk in the church. We need the church to be blessed. But see, sometimes God bless us and we come to church and we don't be a blessing to the church. That's right. I pray and fear for people like that because, see, one day I'm going to get a telephone call. And things are going to be different in your life. And the same folk that you wouldn't help, you need to help you. Amen, somebody. Amen. The same folk you sat in the audience with a spirit of indifference that would not give, that's going to come time when you're going to need the church to pay your mortgage. And we paid people's mortgage before. You're going to need the church to help you with your health care because you don't have no health insurance and you need medicine. Church got to buy you medicine. Your gas and electric cut off. You need some help. Church going to help you. You know what I'm talking about. That's called benevolence. We're in the business of helping folk. Now this month we have to turn down some folk because we don't have no money to help nobody. But if we give right, you don't like turning people away. People need help, especially during these times. But when the members don't give, we don't have no money to help nobody. So that's why we ought to give, because these Macedonians, they want to be a part of helping folk. So they gave. Even though it wasn't much, they gave what they had. And Paul said they went beyond. So I want you to examine your own heart. And be honest with yourself. If they were to put this thermometer in my mouth today, what would it read? And they make a commitment to do better by God. Amen? Amen. If you're a member of the body of Christ, we encourage you to recommit yourself to the Lord and be a supporter of the kingdom of God. This lesson for members. We don't ask non-members to give. That's up to you if you want to be a blessing to the kingdom. But if you're not a member of the body of Christ, we encourage you to become a member of the body of Christ. We always extend the invitation. You heard the gospel. You believe with all your heart. Are you willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized? All your sins will be washed away. You can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You become a member of the Church of Christ today. And if you do, when you leave, you get a pledge card. You start supporting the kingdom of God. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. And watch your finances start changing. Because God is watching how you're handling what you have before he give you more. If you're covetous and stingy and have a spirit of indifference, God not going to bless you, because we all are channels. God sends money not just to us, but he sends it through us so that we can be a blessing to somebody else. If you want help to share with somebody else, God going to put a plug in that blessing. Before long, your well run dry. Your savings is depleted because you ain't helping nobody. You're just holding on to what you have. That's not the spirit of Christianity. Christianity is a given religion. We'll always be given.